This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Assalamu alaikum and kia ora Dunedin.
You are tuned into Chit Chat with Pau, brought to you by the Pakistani Association of Otago.
This is your space for culture, stories and good conversation, straight from our community to yours.
Welcome everyone, I'm Ahmed and today on Chit Chat with Pakistan, we are talking about open water swimming, but this is really a conversation about more than swimming. It is about cold, courage, judgment, friendship, and the things you see when you leave the pool behind. And also, the strange reasons people willingly get into very cold water and then keep coming back. Today, we have a couple of guests in the studio. Francois has already taken cold water swimming to an extreme level. In July 23, he completed a 1,609-meter para ice mile at Blue Lake near St. Bethans in 38 minutes, which is officially recognized by as Guinness in the Guinness Book of World Records. Suzanne, originally from Ireland, began as a self-taught pool swimmer before discovering ocean swimming while working as a nurse. Since then, her journey has included the Ruby swimming in Wanaka, injury and surgery, a return to open water with frozen sea dogs. I don't know what that is, but we'll ask her. Events in New Zealand and Fiji, age group success, and volunteering as a medic for New Zealand ice swimming. Jemima is currently training for one of New Zealand's great open water challenges, which is swimming quick straight. She has recently swum around the islands of Dunedin and also completed a swim from Glenorchy to Queenstown. She's also active on social media where she shares her swimming adventures. So do give her a follow. I'm sure she'll be able to tell you her Insta handle. Amanda came to open water swimming more recently after a lifelong of being drawn to sea through beach days and surfing. She describes winter swimming as tough, but also rewards make it worthwhile. So today I want to find out why people do this, how they deal with the cold, what they have seen out there, what the water has taught them, and why a group of people standing around in wetsuits on a cold Otago morning can become such a strong community. Welcome to the show, everyone. Okay. So before we start, my first question would be from Suzanne, that is it, if you had to explain to someone who does not swim outdoors, why you keep returning to the water, and what would you have to say to that? And then same questions to everyone.
For me, I think it was seeing people in the water and thinking, I really love to do that. What is it that, you know, what is it that makes them get in the water? I think that feeling that I get after is pure bliss, and just I enjoy it so much. I think, you know, going from pool swimming to ocean swimming is just a huge, yeah, huge step. Yeah, huge step, and I think if you can do that, then you're winning.
Yeah, because I think when you're in pool, you're like, oh, people are here, you know, it's just, you know, small pool, yeah, everybody can see you.
Yes.
But open water is a bit dangerous or difficult.
Yeah, it's the unknown, isn't it? If I can't see or if I can't stand on my feet, I think that was my biggest hurdle in the beginning, was if I can't stand in the water, then it mustn't feel safe.
Yeah.
And I think overcoming that, which was really quickly, actually, it happened really fast.
Yeah.
To be able to, you know, swim endlessly. It's amazing.
Yeah. What do you think, Amanda? What is this for you?
For me, I just love swimming, and I hadn't heard of these open water swimming groups. I had to seek it out. And I remember clearly the first time I did it, and it was a small triangle, but I was just immediately hooked, and being able to swim all year round in the sea, which I just love, because normally I'd just been splashing around, diving under waves, or being on top of the water, but being in the water, and for me, it's seeing what's in there, but also just the total sense of freedom. You're on your own, even though you've got amazing support group around you. It's, you know, you're self-reliant. You need to be aware of the risks for yourself and be cautious and not put anyone else at risk by taking risks with yourself. But we all look out for each other, but knowing our limits is good. And I just, like Susan, I just, it makes me feel serene. And the sense of the water on your body, the salt water, is quite different from freshwater swimming, which is, I can go dive down to depths there, which don't terrify me. But yeah, it is the unknown and what's underneath you. But that's now, I actually quite look forward to that. And I'm looking forward to those encounters. I haven't had one yet.
I really like your point of being being cautious about, you know, your limits. Because I think in open water, it's just one wrong move and you are further away from safety, which is not the case in swimming pools, indoor pools. It's What makes it for you, Jemima?
I really love the challenge of it. So with swimming, the options are kind of limitless and people have done some crazy things. So I just love seeing what I can do and always aiming for the next thing.
Yeah,
it gives me a goal. And I, I've made a lot of fun plans that involve swimming. The people I meet are really cool as well. So that's a big part of why I love it. And yeah, as everyone else has said, I also just love the feeling of being in the water. I reckon you get this sort of like a high from the cold water, weird as that might sound. But yeah, we may look crazy, but it is really fun.
Yeah.
Can't hate it until you try it, you know.
Yeah, so I was looking at your Instagram. I was, when I was doing the research for this interview, and I was like, oh my God, this looks dangerous. But you are doing it so easily. You're having the fun of your life.
Yeah. I think I might be a bit ignorant of some of the dangers. But I'm not, like, I'm not super scared when I'm out there. Yeah. I think there's a lot of things you can't control.
Yeah.
Like, you can't control what's in the water. So if you focus on the things you can control, like the cold, having a safety crew, you just don't think about the other things and go have a great time.
Yeah. And what do you reckon, Francois?
Ahmed, I think, as you can see today, we've got three ladies and myself, you know, and I think this ratio is very applicable to open water swimmers and cold water swimmers. There's more females, you know, I think they are tougher.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just less afraid than men, you know. If you speak to men about it, they always say, but it's dangerous and what about the sharks? And they're just so afraid. But the ladies are not, you know, they're a lot tougher. And what spoiled me, I started off 30 years ago as just a social pool swimmer. But if you swim in the pool, it's very difficult to keep going, you know, it's very easy. You know, when you get sick, to stop and just don't go back to the pool. But and that's how my life was. You know this relationship with the pool, but then stop swimming. And when we lived in Queenstown, I saw these guys swimming in the lake in wetsuits, and it just looked so beautiful. Just looking beautiful, seeing people swimming next to each other coming in, and it's something that I really wanted to do, and that's where I started swimming. And I think once you start open water swimming, you want to improve yourself, and the benefit of it, you know, the feel, you really feel good while you're doing it afterwards, and the community of people make you want to not stop doing it, but it also then encourages you to wanted to become a better swimmer.
Yeah.
And so you tend to go to pools more, and you tend to, you know, so since I started swimming in 2019, I would say full-time, you know, 2019 I started open water swimming, and since then I've never stopped swimming. It's probably not been a week that I haven't swum, you know, maybe I was sick for a week, but I think it's something, open water swimming is something that keeps you swimming. And I would say, I would encourage people that's listening, that's got kids swimming, if you want them to swim all their life, get them into open water swimming. And even if someone wants to learn to swim as well, you know, make open water swimming part of it, because that's the thing that will keep you swimming. Because if you, once you realize you overcome your fear, you know, it's something beautiful. And I think it's a great community, beautiful people, and part of it is overcoming your fear. You know, part of the dopamine and the feel good that you get afterwards is the fact that you've actually done something scary. I'm scared before every swim that I do. I still feel a bit of anxiety, you know, because you never know. But But afterwards, you know, you feel very good and, yeah. and like, oh, like I always say, it feels like you've had a bottle of wine, but you're not drunk. You just feel, you just feel calm in your soul and you feel happy with life.
Yeah.
You know,
it clears your mind.
It clears your mind. Everything is back into perspective. Pool swimming gives that to you in a way as well, but open water swimming is just so much more. And once you dump the wetsuit and swim without a wetsuit, it's even more, you know. You know, you get that effect even more.
Yeah, so Francois has told me that, I mean, he has just told us that he has not missed swimming for a week. He regularly goes. You guys are the same? You guys regularly go? Or if you guys have to stop swimming or for some reason, how does it feel when you are not swimming? Is there any change or are you like, oh, I need to go back and
yeah,
do the
definitely.
Swimming?
I've been setting my alarm. I used to have to set my alarm to get out of bed on when I first started swimming with Francois and Brendan. That was 3 or 4 years ago, and yeah. and it you know in the middle of winter when it's dark, and yeah. you sort of think, okay, I'm going to set the alarm to get up and go swimming when it's you know gale force yeah. winds and raining and dark, and then when you get to the water, it's sort of the light is coming and it's just you feel like the ocean's just. Encouraging you into the water. It never feels the same as when you get to the water as when you're getting out of bed.
Yeah.
Like when you're getting out of bed, it's like a bit of a drag. Whereas nowadays, I actually wake up before, you know, I don't even set an alarm and I'm so happy to go. And I think if you miss a week, you just feel like your body's not the same. You don't feel as good in yourself. You don't feel quite right. You know, and we've talked about it over the years, haven't we, that our partners have noticed as well that, you know, when we haven't swum.
So Susan has a problem at home. She doesn't swim. So that's why her husband sends her swimming. You know? I could say the same from my wife, Dee, as well. She prefers me swimming.
Yeah,
the swimming version of me.
I'm a better wife when I'm swimming, that's for sure, and a better mom as well.
Yeah.
And I guess I changed my job slightly over the years, and I was available for the kids on the weekend, but of course the kids are in their pajamas in the mornings, and that's yeah. something that I, you know, I didn't want to be that mom in the morning that's hassling the kids just because they're doing their downtime on the weekend mornings, and so it kind of fitted in with my life as well that I can go away and do something that makes me happy and kind of come back and they're ready by the time I get back. So it's worked really well for our family.
Yeah,
it's been good.
So Jemima, how swimming has become a part of how do you see yourself, or is it how big of a part swimming is in your life?
Right now, it's probably like the biggest thing in my life just because of this goal I've got to train for the Cook Strait. But I don't know. I don't think that deeply about it, hey? I just do it because I love it.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really loving what's come with this big increase in swimming. You know, all the people I'm meeting, all the opportunities I'm getting, it's really great. And I seeing progress is real motivating too to keep coming back and keep showing up every day. Yeah.
So when did the idea come in your mind of Cook Strait? Yeah, I want to do that.
Oh, so initially it came up like 2-ish years ago after I did the Ruby Island swim. Then, you know, I wanted another challenge. I was like, right, what's next? There's nothing really longer as an event.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, Cook Strait. But then I was like, oh, nah, this is a bit crazy. So I kind of pushed that one down for a bit. Did a few other sports, actually.
Yeah.
And ended up doing triathlon. Got a running injury. Then I was like, right, now's the time to swim the Cook Strait.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can't run. So then I decided to become a swimmer and swim the Cook Strait, and now I just want to be a swimmer forever, really.
Forever,
yeah.
So who was the first person you discussed this idea with that you want to swim the Cook Strait?
Oh, I can't keep things to myself, eh? Like, I just remember I was at like some surf lifesaving event, and I was just going around and asking everyone what they thought. So this was the second time it came up.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, God, should I swim the Cook Strait?
Yeah.
So, yeah, nothing's a secret.
Nothing's a secret. So how has the training changed for Cook Strait as compared to, you know, normal day-to-day swimming?
Oh, a lot more kilometres. So I do like 35 to 50 a week, which like most of that is in the pool. So I've had to get up a lot earlier to join swim squad, which has been, you know, that's been a change, but I love it. It's great. Yeah, a lot more time in the pool. Also, just the whole island challenge in Glen Orchid to Queenstown, that's been a big change because I have to, like, actually plan these things, get a support crew together and go. Like, with the islands, I was doing one a week, so it made, like, it generated a lot of planning. But I'm really loving the training and, as I said before, like, just seeing the rewards of it, you know, translating into getting faster and being able to go for longer, getting less sore. Yeah. I find that really motivating. So that is one of the many things that keeps me coming back.
Yeah. So, Amanda, what do you think? I mean, once you jumped into the pool swimming bit, is there a how much is the difference between, you know, your stamina, your physique and everything as compared once you're in the open water versus you are in a swimming pool?
I've never really done a lot of pool swimming, except at St. Clair Pool because it's open air, because I don't really like being enclosed and I don't like chlorine. I think that's something that's really striking about the open water swimming is the sensation of the salt on your skin. It's almost like silk running on your skin when you're feeling in the zone. So I would avoid the pool, and I don't go very often. I've just started a couple of lessons because I'm one of the slower ones of the group, and I tend to get left behind, which is not a problem. But I just want to improve my technique myself so that I can keep up and go the full 2 kilometres in the summer, and everyone's not waiting for me, or get there when they're been waiting and then they turn around and come back and I have to turn around without a rest. So I don't particularly like the pool very much at all, and I don't like the closeness with people. That's the thing about the open water, you know, you can just sometimes you'll find yourself right on top of someone and it's actually really nice because you can't see them, it's choppy and you've just got the freedom of going wherever, however fast or slow. I actually don't mind going slow because a big part of it for me is seeing what I can see and just relishing being in there.
So Suzanne, you said you're a self-taught swimmer?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
How did it started off, and how did that self-taught thing become more than a self-taught and, you know, going up?
So as a kid, I used to take myself off to the local pool every Sunday afternoon. And it was just something it just stayed with me my whole life. I went to the pool and I would watch people. Our family couldn't afford lessons, so I used to watch people swim. I used to stand there and watch people, and it took me quite a long time to kind of get the hang of it. And in my local pool, a tiny little community pool, they had lifeguards, and you had to, like, tread water for a minute before you could go into the deep end. And I remember it took me a few goes, and I just kept going and kept doing it. And it was just something that and it's still the same feeling I get when I go for a swim in the pool or in the ocean. Like, there's a certain feeling that I get that I've done it, like I've used my body in a certain way, and I've kind of calmed my mind a wee bit, or it's just brought me a different feeling that I didn't have when I woke up that morning. I always get something after a swim, and I guess I just carried that on. And I guess when I finished high school, I moved away and I went to university, and one of my nursing friends, she was a lane swimmer, she was a lap swimmer, and I'd never heard of sort of people doing laps before, and so that's how I got into lap swimming, and I thought, actually, I'm quite good at this. I can kind of keep going, and I just sort of kept going, but for me, I just watched people. Like, we didn't have YouTube when I was at high school or university, so I'd watch people and I just would observe. So I guess I just carried on from university and through my working life, and everywhere I moved, and when I emigrated to New Zealand in 2003, I would specifically move to a town that I knew had a good pool, or I would always kind of base my life around pools and I suppose the ocean thing didn't really happen until I moved to Waiheke. I was a district nurse on Waiheke, and there wasn't a pool, and so I had to think
outside the box.
I can't just go to the pool. So that's kind of where my ocean swimming really started.
So have you sort of transferred that enthusiasm to your kids?
I've tried. One of them one of them is a reluctant swimmer,
okay.
But he's actually got a really good technique.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one, he would like to. I think he'll come to it later. I think he'll come to it like I did.
Ah.
They had to have compulsory lessons in our household till high school. And now I have a 17-year-old. He's into other things right now. But I hear them. The nicest thing about my kids is that they talk about my swimming to their friends, and they sort of they carry that, and that's really that makes me feel really good about getting up every morning and going off and doing this, because to them they see me doing it, they're not really taking part yet. I would hope that they would.
So, Francois, since you are a Guinness Book of World Record holder, so tell us the non holders that what does the first minute in generally cold water brings to your mind, both mentally and physically. So how sort of somebody has to prepare for it, because there are times when it's cold weather, you don't even take shower in cold water. So how does someone prepare for that journey?
Before I answer that question, Ahmed, I'm a bit cheeky, so I just want to answer another question that you're too afraid to ask. One thing about swimming is, it's something you can do till you're very old,
And
today, I know the listeners can't see us, but in terms of ages, we're quite different ages. Jemima that's sitting there, she's still a puppy. She's, I think, 19 years old, not Jemima?
Yeah.
19, yeah. So she's 19.
Yeah.
And I know Susan is in her 40s.
I look in my 30s.
Yeah, she looks very young. Yeah, and I'm in my 50s.
And, I'm mature.
And I know Amanda is a bit older than me as well. So, so there's quite a range of people, And also, none of us were actually squad or taught swimmers. Mm-hmm. Even Jemima came to swimming, even though she's only 19, she came to it quite late. And she's just a natural, very fast swimmer, for someone that hasn't really been taught, Okay, in terms of your question, I think how you start doing it is you just do it, and with the knowledge that every time you do it, it becomes easier. I think at the start of a cold season, it's always tough in the start of a cold season, and it takes about 5 swims for your body just to
adjust for the shock,
to adapt. It's almost like your nervous system needs to calm down. The alarm system needs to know. It's almost like an AI that needs to learn. This is not you're not dying. Your body learns to calm down. So next time you do it, it's like almost 50% easier.
Yeah.
And every time you do it, it's a bit easier. It takes about 5 times for your body just to relax. And it's always tough swimming in, especially cold water, once it reaches like 7 or 6 degrees. For normal people like us, maybe not for Jemima, she's a bit of a freak of nature, but for the rest of us, your hands will feel like they're dead. As soon as you get in, your feet will be dead as well. And when you swim in that kind of water, you swim for time. You're going to be in it for 10 minutes or 15 or 20 minutes, And as soon as you get out, you need to get your clothes, get dressed, and, start warming up. But the reward is that sense of well-being afterwards.
So I guess my question would be, when you're in cool water, when you're swimming, because you're getting exhausted, your body heats up automatically or what? How does it?
So your question is, do your body heat up automatically?
Yeah, because...
While you're swimming or when you're out?
While you're swimming, because the water is still cold,
Yeah.
But your body is getting...
Yeah, so what happens is your skin gets very cold, obviously because the water is cold, your skin gets cold. But your body is very intelligent. Your body knows not to send blood to your skin anymore. So that way your body protects the internal temperature by not absorbing the cold from your skin. So your skin becomes almost like a bit of a wetsuit. You can feel your skin is cold, but inside you actually feel warm. Right inside, you're not shivering, you feel warm. And then as soon as you're out, once your skin thinks it's warm on the outside, it's like a thermostat. It tells your body, send the blood back to the skin. And as soon as the blood goes back to your skin, which is very cold, that cold blood goes back to your core, and you get what's called an after drop. Your internal temperature drops when you're out of the water, and that happens about 10-15 minutes after you're out. Once you've got your clothes on, you start shaking uncontrollably.
Oh, cool.
And it's called the alpha drop. It happens when you swim in water, I would say, under 15 degrees, under 14 degrees. You know, it can happen, depends how long you're in the water. But you learn about it, and so you don't freak out. You know, you just need to ride. You ride the polar bear, you know, and until you and your body just warms up again. You know, Your body shivers and warms itself up.
So do you have sort of special swimsuits or special regime after when you come out?
You put on as much clothes as possible, you know, and. Yeah, and you get some fancy robes as well, you know, like we dry robes, you know, that keeps you quite warm.
Yeah.
And I know when it comes to when we compete, you know, there's normally medical teams that have got hot water bottles, you know, that they actually warm you up, you know, so you don't have to worry about warming up, they'll heat you up.
Yeah. It's not the kind of sport that actually your body does warm up when you're doing it at all.
Okay.
You know, that's my experience anyway. Like any other sport.
Oh, yeah.
And we are all, most of us are skin swimmers, which means that we are just in togs or budgie smugglers for the boys. Yeah, so really we're pretty much nothing between us and the cold water. So you don't get warm, you've got to be more mindful of actually how cold you're getting. Mm.
And then I guess when you're swimming away, you got also thing. I have to go back as well, you know. Mm. So don't exhaust myself all the way going down because somebody has to come back.
For sure. And that's something that is definitely in my mind. If I start to feel like, I'm getting cold, then I know that it's probably a good time to turn around because if I'm thinking that, then I probably am. Like it's maybe gone beyond the point where I should have gone and I need to head back.
So for you, the indication is cold rather than exhaustion?
Oh, definitely, because exhaustion, you can just go at a pace where you don't get
slow
exhausted.
Slow down, yeah.
Yeah, you don't. I don't really get exhausted. I don't know about other people's experience, but I think that exhaustion is the initial entering into the water when it's so cold and it, like, takes your breath away. It's and you struggle to get your breath initially, and that's quite tiring until you can get into a rhythm. But, definitely you don't get out due to exhaustion unless you're Jemima.
Yeah, I was looking at Jemima's videos, and she was literally swimming with sea lions and stuff. I was like, oh, my God. How was the experience?
Oh, I've seen a few sea lions around the island. The worst one was Wharekākahu Island at Allen's Beach. Since, like, people don't really go there heaps, it was just covered in sea lions.
Okay.
So I had to jump out of the boat, swim in, and touch the sand on this tiny little beach that you can't walk to. Like, you can only really get there by boat. But there were waves, so the boat couldn't get in. I had to go in, touch the sand, come back out. There were about 8 massive, big sea lions. There was, like, 3 on the beach and a lot more in the water. I kind of, like, I was unaware of how many there were until I got back to the boat after I'd done my swim and the people showed me a video. There was these giant sea lions everywhere. Yeah. I was like, oh, wow, that's scary. And, yes, I saw one at White Island too, and this one that came and touched me. Before the swim, I said to my crew, oh, like, don't pull me out if there's a sea lion. Only pull me out if there's a shark. But as soon as this thing touched me, I sat up in the water. I was like, sea lion, get me in the boat. I sprinted to the IRB, got myself in. I ended up just kind of jumping back in a few minutes later once it had gone away and keeping going. But, yeah, after that incident and the one at Allen's Beach, I feel like I'm kind of desensitized to them now, so they don't freak me out as much. I've also actually got I have a friend at McAndrew Bay where we swim. It's this big massive big male one, like it's the biggest sea lion you've ever seen, and like whenever he's around he seems to come and say hi to me and like no one else. I've had a few wee sightings of him. Sometimes I don't know he's there. Someone else will be like, oh, Jim, do you see your sea lion friend? But, yeah, no, I think he's my friend. He's never tried to do anything mean to me. So, yeah, we're mates.
Yeah.
So Ahmed, you need to ask her why she's called Shargul.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is a crazy story. Hopefully you'll believe it, but it is true. So I think it was about 4 years ago now. I think I was 16. No, 3 years ago. I was out at Warrington Beach just going for a swim. I was with a friend, luckily. We had swum out the back of all the waves, and I was just like body surfing on them in. And then, I kid you not, a shark came up and gave me a nibble on my pinky finger. Yes, I freaked out. I screamed and I swam in real fast. But it wasn't like a huge shark. I think it was like a seven gill shark. So I'd say it was like the length of me at the time. Yeah. But that was my shark encounter. Luckily, there haven't been any since then.
Yeah, like you. Hopefully, you never encounter the sharks again in this way.
Fingers
coming
crossed.
And saying hi to you.
Yeah.
The scariest possible way. So what has been the lowest temperature that you guys have swimmed? And what temperature of the water and you'll say, oh my God, I cannot do this?
Francois, over to you.
No, Jemima, she needs to start. I mean, Jemima's an animal. Right? She can swim for prolonged periods in water that I cannot swim in, you know, and she hardly shivers.
Right, so coldest was last week. It got to 5 degrees on Saturday, and I did 2K. I was actually being studied for this cold water swimming study, so I had like a pill thermometer inside of me. I had stuff stuck to me to measure my temperature.
Yep.
Haven't got the results yet, but I was like, right, I need to do my full swim. So I did 2K, but it was actually fine because the air was warm. And it just motivates me to swim faster so I get back quicker.
Yeah, what about you, Amanda?
Well, I thought 6 degrees was the lowest that I've ever swum in. And then, Jem says, the next day it was 5 degrees. So, that's the coldest. And that 1 degree is like, you wouldn't think it would make a difference, but wow, it does.
It does, especially if it's cool.
Immensely.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
So what's your sort of favourite limit? Range of temperature, you're like, that's my, safe spot.
It's hard to know now because in the summer we swim in about 16 and I can't imagine what that feels like at the moment. Today I swam and it was 8 degrees, which was pleasant.
Yeah.
So that felt really nice. But I would say probably about 10 or 11 is comfortable.
Your sweet spot.
Yeah, maybe. I can't remember.
Well, it's so interesting. I was thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking, I'm kind of feeling a bit disappointed that it's going to get warmer. Like, there's a part of me that's sort of like, it's way more fun in winter because it's – and we talk about this a lot, don't we? It's way more fun in winter because there's so many more challenges to just get in the water. Mm-hmm. And you feel like you've overcome something huge when you've just got in the water in winter. Whereas in the summer, you kind of glide in and it's all about distance and, who can swim the fastest and how far can you get. Whereas in the winter, it's, crikey, I've just got in that water. Like, I've overcome something huge. Like, and we all, the cackles and the yelping and the we get so vocal in winter, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
And we all sort of stand there and, we're sort of, almost egging each other on to get in. And who's going to get in? That person's got in. And it just seems like it's like a group effort to get in. And everyone feels like we feel proud of each other for getting in winter.
Yeah.
Whereas in summer, everyone just gets in and glides off and we're all, see you at the halfway point kind of thing. Yeah. Whereas in winter, we kind of look out for each other and, so-and-so's gone round. Oh, yeah, I think I'll go round again. And it's just, it's just that it's more of a feeling of how I feel in the water and rather, in the colder temperatures, definitely, in winter.
So what do you, so for the viewers, what is Ruby Swim? Somebody who doesn't know.
Sure. So in the South Island, there's a few well-known swims, and they're based in sort of one of them is in Wanaka. And it's so the Ruby Island is one of the islands in Wanaka. And Eddie Spearing runs a swim event. And this event has been going for 10 years, more than 10 years. Yeah, about more, just over 10 years. And what I loved about it was that it had all the distances. So from Jemima doing the 10K to and Francois doing the 10K to someone like me who'd never really entered an event and did sort of 2.5 kilometres or 2.8 kilometres around the island.
Oh, yeah.
And so and it also does the 500. And
I did
so,
the 500.
So anything from 500 to 10K, basically, and beginners as well. So it just had everything that a swimmer trying to do events or wanting to do an event for whatever reasons can enter. Yeah.
Is this where you did that 4 kilometer in Queenstown?
No. Or? So Queenstown again is another run event, and it's on in March, and their maximum distance is 4 kilometers, and then again you can do anything from the sort of 250 to 4 kilometers. The 4 kilometers is fun because you get to jump off the boat. They take you out on the Ernslaw boat, and then you swim back you swim back to town, which is awesome. So there's only one way to go,
and then come back on your own.
And that was a lot of fun.
I think 4 kilometers is your longest one, or
I've done a couple of 4K races now. So we did the Rotorua. So New Zealand has a sort of an ocean swim series as well. So a lot of those swims are in the North Island, and we went up as a group, a couple of us, and did the Rotorua swim. And again, that, like, what I love about the events is they're for all ages and stages, and there's something for everyone. So that was my challenge, to do the 4 kilometers
thing. And when you do, you have sort of clock, or in your mind, okay, I would have done 1 kilometer by now, I would have done 2 kilometers by now. So is there something in you going on in your head when you are swimming, or is just when you're tired, you're tired?
For me, it's about flow. So when I know I'm in flow, I can just carry on. For me personally, I have a musical brain.
Oh, yeah.
So music keeps me going.
Oh, yeah.
So random songs will come into my head. And that's when, and the crazier the song, the more in flow I feel.
Oh, yeah.
The race events are usually, like, the Ruby will have the buoys. So they'll have massive orange buoys, and they'll be marked. And so you'll kind of know the route before you kind of sit.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Set off. What I loved about the Rotorua swim was that the buoys were numbered, and so you knew exactly where you were at, and it sort of counted down. So it was fabulous. I really liked that. I was singing away and counting down to zero, and just in flow. And then I was a bit scared when I got in, so I went to the back. I sort of always stick to the back, and my husband was there, and that was the first 4K event that I did, and he said, "Oh my God, you were one of the last that got in, and you were like halfway, like you were in the first half getting out."
Yeah.
But for me, I thought I had no idea where I was. Like, I was just,
swimming
and singing and
enjoying the movement.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's become less scary, I think, for me. I think when I'm in flow, then I'm fine.
Yeah. So, Amanda, what has been your, do you also participate in such events, or are you just not, you're just free flow?
I've done a couple of events, I have to say that I don't really like competing because it increases my heart rate and makes it more difficult to get into that flow state. I did my very first was the 500 in Wanaka, which was Return of the Jedi, Return of the Jetty. And it's a nice easy one for anyone who wants to start. But swimming in fresh water is definitely different to swimming in the ocean because you haven't got the buoyancy. So it is quite a different dynamic. It's a lot harder, actually. You've got to, still to learn actually what to do to stop from sinking so much and keep up the speed. But the furthest I've done is 2 kilometres in the winter in Whakatipu. And that's enough for me for fun. Like I said, I don't want to do it for competition. I do it for pleasure.
Do it for pleasure, yeah. That's fair enough. What about you, Steph?
In terms of the Queenstown event, the Whakatipu Legend, they've got 3 events. It's 1 kilometre, 2 kilometres, and 4 kilometres. And you've got the option of doing all three as well, which is 7 kilometres. And remember that last event we did, Amanda, the one, it was 2 laps of 500. So it was a kilometre.
Kilometre. Felt like 2 kilometres.
Yeah, it was a tough swim because it was like really cold outside. And,
the air temperature.
And the water was also colder than what I thought it was going to be, you know, so it was a tough swim. So your question was, something else I wanted to say, and you didn't ask this, but it's just for the non-swimmers. Once you can swim and comfortable swimming is like walking. You've got a theme going asking, so when are you getting tired? Now, you can swim in a way that you won't get tired, you know, where you just can go on forever. You know, and obviously you can swim where you get tired if you really push yourself. Okay. If you're trying to swim for a good pace, you know. But once you are swimming fit, you can go a far way. You know, as long as you get in fluids and you eat while you're swimming, you can actually swim quite far. And most people can do it. And I would encourage people who's listening, you know, swimming is something everyone can do. And it's a great sport to do. So come and join us. You know, Saturday and Sunday is 8:30. It's a bit of a plug.
Yeah.
So what's your question?
The distance.
I think when I used to swim with a wetsuit, you know, I was always trying to swim farther and farther. And once I dumped the wetsuit, I stopped chasing distance. You know, so generally now in summer. I think over weekends we swim about four kilometers on Saturday and Sunday, both days, and during the week we'll swim 2 kilometers every day. And swimming there in McAndrew Bay in the ocean is just it's so great. Eh? I mean, like I said, you're always a bit apprehensive before you go, but once you start swimming, it's just such a great feeling. Yeah. And I mean, the furthest I've probably swum is probably about 11 kilometers. It's really nothing in terms of what people swim out there. You know, there's some legends who have swum 100 kilometers. You might have heard of Jono Riddler, who swam from the Great Barrier Island back to Takapuna, which is 100 kilometers. He was pretty unwell after that, but he's done that. And he's also had a swim over a few months, a couple of months, I think, he swam from the north part of the North Island to Wellington. It's like 1,300 kilometers, I think. How much was that? But he swam like every day. He swam like 10 kilometers every day, or even more than that. I can't remember. But every single day he swam that, you know, for a few months until he reached Wellington. He did that for the health of the ocean to stop, you know, to petition to stop bottom trawling. I think that's what Jemima's still going to do. Jemima's going to finish his route. She's going to start in Wellington and swim all the way to Stewart Island, you know. So, you know, that's going to be your mission, Jemima.
That is fake news for anyone listening thinking he's being serious.
So is this going to be your Cook Strait is going to be the longest one that you already do?
Yes. So, I mean, like, I might do some longer things in the lead up. I've kind of planned to start doing longer things once it gets a bit warmer. So, I'm actually planning to go for like a 20 or something in the next holidays. And then as it gets warmer, I'll up the distance. Because, like, right now, there's no way I'm going to go swim 20K in the pool, you know?
Yeah.
Cook Strait will be. Like, very decent, though.
So I just want to say, Ahmed, in terms of swimming in New Zealand, there's something called the Triple Crown. So the Cook Strait is one of the swims for the Triple Crown. How many kilometres is it, Jemima?
23, if you swim in a perfectly straight line.
Okay, 23. And then Taupo is also one, and that's about 40 kilometres.
Yeah, 40.
And then the
Fovo is same as Cook.
It's about 23.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the Taupo is quite a tough swim because the water can be a bit cooler and it's a long way to go, 40 kilometers, but it's a bit more predictable. The thing is with the Cook Strait, what Jemima's going to do, you have to be a fast swimmer because you have to beat the tide. The tide is flushing between the two islands and if you are too slow, you could miss your touch point on the other side. So that's why Jemima has been told that she needs to work on the speed.
Yes, actually, that's what I'm doing at the moment. I've been told I need to swim at 1:30 per 100 metres, which if you're not a swimmer, you won't know what that means. But if you are, you can picture it. For the whole way across the Cook Strait, if I want the best chance of making it before I get sucked by the tides. So I can currently hold that in the open water for about like 2K.
Yeah.
So I need to times 10 that by February. But I've had a huge like speed breakthrough. Like I've been hitting a lot quicker speeds, which has been a long time coming. I've been stuck at one speed for ages. Now, boom, over it, going faster. So that is it's looking promising. Yeah. So I'm going to have to work hard on the speed until Feb. Yeah. And I should be there by then. Yeah.
You will be there.
Sorry, something else I want to say is, we have to talk about is something that you were asking about, how do we know how we're swimming, you know? So one thing we always talk about is our watches. So for a swimmer, his watch is very, 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 very important, you know? And there's always this debate, what's the best one to have, you know? I'm definitely in the Garmin camp, but there's some Apple Watch people, and then there's Asunto people, you know? Everyone's got their religion, you know? But, you know, so with the watches, the watches actually tells you how far you've swum. Like, for example, mine vibrates every 500 meters, so
it gives you a indication of where you are.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So Jemima told us a very cool shark story. Any other of you guys have any cool wildlife encounter while you were swimming?
We had a very interesting encounter with an octopus in Macandrew Bay. It was really big, but it was just super curious. It just came up and we were interested as it was, and it wrapped itself around Francois and wrapped itself around me, and
it
was really strong. Like, I had to get someone to help me extricate myself because I wasn't quite 100% feeling comfortable with what its intentions were. But, it's pretty cool.
Yes, it definitely felt that if this octopus wanted to drown us, it could. You know, it was that strong.
For sure. And,
but I think it was just so curious, and it just wanted to interact. Obviously, at the time, I was petrified, you know. I pretend to be brave, but I'm really not. I always tell myself, if it happens again, I really need to go into the water and give the octopus some time. Usually when octopuses near the end of their life, they become quite sociable, you know, they seek interaction. And so that one there in the bay actually had quite a lot of interactions, a few videos. And there's a video on our Facebook page, Frozen Sea Dogs, you know, if the listeners want to go and watch the video, it's a good video.
Oh, yeah. This is what I wanted to ask Suzanne about the Frozen Sea Dogs thing, what that is, and if somebody would have.
So that's what we call ourselves, is the Frozen Sea Dogs, the group.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've seen seals underwater as well. They've come and looked at me. You know, it is terrifying. But just stay calm, you know, it's what you tell yourself. And obviously we see a lot of fish and just sea life, you know, genuine sea life and plants. And it's beautiful, beautiful.
So then you said your journey was interrupted by an injury and surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So how did it happen and how did you sort of come back to swimming?
I can't remember how many years ago it was, but maybe 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Overswimming, I would say. And I ended up needing neck surgery, so I ended up having two discs removed in my neck and fused. And that took me to the couch for about 6 months. And life was terrible, really. Yeah. And that was my biggest fear, that I wouldn't be able to get back swimming. Who am I without swimming? I don't know.
And then you finally came back?
Well, yeah, actually... It wasn't as long as I thought it was going to be. And that was when I first started ocean swimming as well. Yeah, so I went back and started ocean swimming after an injury.
What a way to come back.
Yeah, and actually my neck's been fine. It's been really good for me. Cool. Just to sort of keep things moving. For me it's just about moving. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why I wanted to go in the cold as well, because I'd heard a lot about, you know, mental health and injuries and, you know, aches and pains. And I thought, well, you know, if I can't do much pool right now, I'm going to try, you know, a little bit of dipping and cold water immersion. I suppose it just grew from there, and it hasn't held me back.
So Jemima, how would any listener who would want to, you know, be a part of your journey, would want to help you out, how would they contribute if they want to contribute?
So I'd say go find my Instagram. It is Jemima_McElroy, spelled JEMIMAH_MCILROY. So you can see what I'm up to on there. I try and post a video a week. It could be of, you know, some open water swims, Yeah, that's all it's been now. Yep. But tomorrow I'm doing 100 hundreds in the pool, yeah. So there'll be a reel coming out about that. Yes, I'm actually trying to acquire 10 grand for the Cook Strait, which is crazy. Yeah. So if you want to have a look at that, it is in the link in my Instagram bio, or just go and give a little and search Gem's Cook Strait attempt. But yeah, even if you just want to follow the Insta, you know, have a look. I appreciate anything, eh?
Yeah.
So go check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Frozen Sea Dogs have an Instagram page as well. You can find her there.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Well, everybody should help support our young Kiwi who wants to do from the Cook Strait, and he has already done the Glenorchy to Queenstown, which is already hard enough, but, you know, he's taking up the challenge of Cook Strait. Yeah, that's good. Anything you guys want to add to someone who's like me, scared of the cold water? What should they do? What things they should have in mind before going to the swim?
Tomorrow we'll go.
Okay, I reckon my advice for people getting into it would be, don't compare your swimming to someone else's. I find in swimming there's such a range of abilities. Like, for me right now, some people tell me I'm really fast and some people tell me I'm really slow. So looking around and looking at who's better than me, like, isn't that helpful? But I reckon it's real helpful to look back on where you have come from and use that to motivate yourself. So I reckon if you're getting into it and you're only swimming like 500 meters, like, that's great, and you will progress if you stick at it. And yeah, I reckon motivate yourself by your own progress, and that will keep you going.
And the benefits of it that we've spoken about, like the endorphins that kick in afterwards, there's that, but there's also this awesome community that we have when after we've done swimming we all go upstairs and have a cuppa. Yeah. When you know our hands stop shaking, we can actually drink it. Sometimes we have to drink it from the table, but there's this awesome camaraderie. So you just have to get in, have a dip. Someone will always stay with a new swimmer.
Yeah.
There's just say, look, you just go as far as you feel comfortable and we will stay with you, and then we'll get out.
Yeah.
And then we have a cuppa and a catch up, and we compare notes and we have a laugh, and so that's the real carrot kind of dangling
looks
there.
Looks like a very warm, close-knit community of swimmers who sort of help out each other and sort of ease the way for the newcomers,
Make them
comfortable.
Yeah, as you say, a community, and the friendliness and the welcoming community. Mm. Yeah, mm. We just look after each other. I mean, it's an individual thing as well. We're all on our own journeys.
Yeah.
But we all know when the newcomer needs looking after. Like, you can see people. You can keep an eye on people and still be doing your own thing. And that's what I really like about it.
What I want to say is the MacAndrew Bay Boating Club has taken our group under their wing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so we use the facilities, you know, for dressing rooms, for showers, and as the ladies have said, you know, it's a very supportive social environment. You know, where we get together and it's great because we see each other twice over the weekend, and during summer times we'll swim during the week as well. So you actually get to know these people quite well. You know, and I want to encourage, and most of us aren't swimmers. You know, we don't come from swimming, and this is something anyone can do. And if you're sitting on the couch today listening to this, and if you feel slightly depressed, you know, if you want to change your life, tell yourself, I'm going to become a swimmer. And work. It's baby steps, you know. Go swim in the pool a bit, maybe go for a lesson, and then as soon as you feel ready, you know, come and join us at MacAndrew Bay, 8:30 Saturday Sundays, and we'll look after you, you know. And you'll be surprised how quickly you progress, you know. And I think open water helps you to progress as well, because it's easier in the sense that time just flies by. And you'll be in the water maybe for 40 minutes, 50 minutes, an hour, and it doesn't feel that long, you know.
Yeah.
Because you become you become hypnotized while you swim, you know, and the time just flies. So come and join us, you know, and it will change your life, you know, and it will make you feel good.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. Thank you for coming and sharing your stories with us, sharing your thoughts on swimming and encouraging other people to, you know, join this very healthy habit of just swimming and getting relaxed, getting the dopamine or all the stuff. And best of luck, Jemima, for your cook straight thing. And
thank you.
Hopefully you'll do great over there. And yeah, thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for spending your time with us on Chit Chat with Pao.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with more voices, stories, and fun.
Until then, Allah Hafiz and Kia ora.
This was Chit Chat with Pao,
where community connects.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.